Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As if we did not have enough polarized division in our world, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is publishing a book that has further polarized and divided our church body. The book contains an annotated text of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther's Large Catechism and more than 50 essays by various authors intended to address and apply the Large Catechism in an increasingly complex contemporary world. But as some of you know, critics have questioned both the choices of some of the essay's authors and the content of those authors' essays. Discussion of the book that I have seen and heard seemed to center particularly on the essays related to the Ten Commandments. And as we heard in today's gospel reading, controversy over correctly understanding and applying the commandments is nothing new. Considering today's gospel reading this morning, we direct our thoughts to the theme expressed in Jesus' preceding words, doing and teaching the commandments. Today's gospel reading is another consecutive portion of Jesus' so-called Sermon on the Mount, picking up right where last Sunday's gospel reading left off. Then Jesus seemingly condemned the Pharisees and scribes for relaxing the Ten Commandments and teaching others to do the same. And today Jesus apparently provides examples of commandments that they had relaxed. In the process, Jesus correctly stiffened the commandments' application and revealed himself to be the divine author and so the correct interpreter of the commandments, a point arguably echoed at the transfiguration of our Lord, as we will hear next week, when the Father's voice from heaven told the disciples to listen to Jesus. If next week were not the transfiguration of our Lord, we would hear the immediately following verses of the Sermon on the Mount, with additional examples of Jesus' correcting the Jewish leaders' false teaching and practice, in that case related to retaliation and loving our enemies. Some preachers each week freely pick their own sermon texts and themes from anywhere in the whole Bible, arguably over time revealing their own hobby horses, topics to which they constantly revert. Other preachers, who generally limit themselves to preaching on one of the appointed readings, have fewer text and theme choices. And those of us who almost always preach on the appointed gospel reading have virtually no choice at all. And if we were to choose not to preach on a gospel reading because we considered it too controversial, we might reveal our own cowardice. Far from revealing our own hobby horses, faithful preachers of the gospel reading, if anything, reflect the biases of those who selected the appointed readings, or the bias of our Lord Jesus Christ, who spoke the words, or the bias of the Holy Spirit, who inspired the gospel accounts of Jesus' words. In today's gospel reading, the examples of the commandments that both the Jewish leaders had relaxed and Jesus stiffened are the commandments in general against murder, adultery, and false testimony, which commandments we know as the fifth, sixth, and eighth commandments. As for the choice of those three, we might imagine an unreconciled married couple committing adultery and so breaking their marriage vows. Regardless, as we heard, Jesus makes clear that the fifth commandment forbids not only murderous acts, but also insulting words and angry thoughts. And arguably, Jesus makes clear that instead, the fifth commandment calls for reconciliation between people. The sixth commandment forbids not only adulterous acts, such as divorce and remarriage, but also sexually impure and indecent words and lustful thoughts. Occasions to fall into sin or fall from faith so serious that they call for almost self-mutilation. And the eighth commandment forbids not only vow-breaking acts, but also lying words and judgmental thoughts. Regarding those same three commandments, the Synod's new large catechism book would have us also think of such things as social justice, gender dysphoria, and truth-telling in a changing world. Regarding those same three commandments, the Synod's most recent explanation of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther's small catechism would have us also think of such things as abortion and any form of suicide, incest and any form of pornography, gossiping and any form of bullying. But we hardly need every possible application of even these three commandments in order to realize that in countless ways, sometimes at the same time, we all break these and all the other commandments. And thus we all sin, both against other people and against God. For we all are sinful by nature, and so we all justly deserve not only to die here and now, but also to be thrown into the hell of fire on the day of judgment. And from that prison, we all can never get out, since we can never pay the debt of our sins, not the debt of our sins against other people, much less the much larger debt of our sins against God. But there is one who has paid the debt of our sin, both the debt of our sin against other people and the much larger debt of our sin against God. That one is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is God in human flesh, and he both perfectly kept God's commandments and paid for our failures to keep God's commandments perfectly. Out of God's great love and mercy, Jesus gave his life as a ransom for all people. On the cross, Jesus bore the sins of the world, including your sins and mine. There, he died for us in our place, the death that we deserved. And then he rose from the dead, showing that God the Father had accepted his sacrifice on our behalf. We do not presume that we are sinless or can save ourselves, nor do we despair of our salvation. But we who on account of our sins deserve death now and torment for eternity end up damned only by our impenitence and unbelief. For the Holy Spirit calls and thereby enables us to repent and believe. And when we do, then by God's grace, for the sake of Jesus' death, through faith, we are reconciled with the Father. God reconciles us to himself through the ministry of reconciliation, that is, through his word and all of its forms. As we heard in today's epistle reading, different pastors are God's fellow workers through whom you believed, as the Lord assigned to each. God himself gives spiritual growth as he creates and sustains faith and forgives sins through those workers. One worker may plant with the reading and preaching of God's word. Another worker may water with the word in holy baptism. And still another worker may prune and fertilize with the touch and word of holy absolution and with the bread and wine and word of the sacrament of the altar, the body of Christ given for us and the blood of Christ shed for us. Through his word and sacraments, God forgives us all our sins against the fifth, sixth, and eighth commandments, as well as all of our sins against all the other commandments. God forgives us our sinful nature, too. so forgiven. We have life and salvation, and also the peace and joy that come with life and salvation. So forgiven, we also are empowered to at least want to keep the fifth, sixth, and eighth commandments, as well as all of the other commandments. As we heard in today's Old Testament reading, God sets before us, us whom he has sanctified, good and evil, blessing and curse, life and death. By God's mercy and grace, we can either obey his commandments and be blessed by him, or we can turn away from him and surely perish. So, we do not break the fifth commandment in thought, word, and deed. But, for example, we are reconciled to other people. We do not break the sixth commandment in thought, word, and deed. But, for example, with prayer, meditation, and resolute repression of sinful desire, however painful that effort may be, we present the members of our bodies to God as instruments of righteousness. We do not break the eighth commandment in thought, word, and deed. But, for example, like Jesus before us, we swear oaths only when necessary for the glory of God or for the welfare of other people. And when we do break the fifth, sixth, and eighth commandments and all the other commandments, as we will break them, with daily repentance and faith, we live in the forgiveness of sins that God gives us for Jesus' sake, including privately confessing to our pastor the sins that we know and feel in our heart, those sins that particularly trouble us, confessing them for the sake of individual absolution, forgiveness from the pastor as from God himself, not doubting but firmly believing that by it our sins are forgiven before God in heaven, for so they are. In the polarized and divided world, the true unity of the church is based on the gospel and all of its articles, taught by Holy Scripture and expressed by the Lutheran confessions. Most of us probably do not need to purchase the Synod's new controversial book with the annotated large catechism and essays of contemporary application. For as we heard in today's gospel reading, the Lord Jesus himself speaks clearly about doing and teaching the commandments. By God's mercy and grace, through his word and sacraments, we realize that we are sinners and are forgiven. Or as the antiphon of today's intro put it, the Lord has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. Amen.
Amen.
Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.